There is a story in the Bible that is greater than Moses at the Red Sea. It is greater than Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. It is the story that is mentioned three times in the Old Testament. I believe that God recorded this story three times because it is a story about facing your enemy. And if you are a child of God, you must know how to fight your enemy. What story is this that mentioned three times in the Bible? Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 32, and we'll take a look in the book.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many think you were honored.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert continues his series of messages on See You at the Top. Now get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. of Bible Way Community Baptist Church, Irving, takes a look in the book.
All the way down to verse 22, but I want to read to you the first eight verses, and that ought to be enough to get us started.
Amen. Amen.
It says, after these things, verse 1, after these things and the establishment of them, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fortified cities and thought to win them for himself. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and with his mighty men to stop the water of the fountains, which was outside the city, and they did help him. So there were gathered many people together who stopped all the fountains and the brooks that ran through the land, saying, why should the king of Assyria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself, built up all the walls that was broken and raised it up to the tower and another wall outside it and repaired the millow in the city of David, made weapons and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spoke encouragingly to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude who are with him. For they are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord, our God, to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I want to talk with you on the subject this morning, facing your enemy.
Amen.
Facing your enemy. High five somebody and tell them, Pastor, going to talk about facing your enemy. Facing your enemy. This morning I want to continue our series of messages out of 2 Chronicles dealing with the theme, See You at the Top. We've been studying the lives of the various kings out of this book of Chronicles, and what we have noticed is that those kings who follow God wholeheartedly, make wise decisions to follow the Lord, they stay at the top. But those kings that decide to do it their way rather than the Lord's way often end up at the bottom.
Amen.
This morning I want to look at one of the greatest stories in all of the Bible. As a matter of fact, I think that this story is one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament. Now, it's not just great just because I say it's great, but it's great because God thought enough of it to put it in here more than one time.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, the story of Moses at the Red Sea was a great story. But that story is only mentioned one time.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 14. The story of Abraham putting Isaac on the altar. That's a great story.
Amen.
But it's only mentioned one time. Genesis 22. The story of Joshua making the walls of Jericho fall down. That's a great story. But it's only mentioned one time in Joshua chapter 6. The story of David fighting Goliath is a great story.
All right.
But it's only mentioned one time. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's a great story. But it's only mentioned one time. Daniel chapter 3. But this story that we're going to look at today is also a great story. I know it's great because God made mention of it three times.
Amen. Amen.
God thought enough of this story to mention it the first time in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Took up two chapters to tell that story. Then it makes mention of it in our text today in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. The second time that it's mentioned. Then it mentioned it the third time over in Isaiah chapter 36. God gives us this story three times. And I believe that God gave it to us over in 2 Kings so that we could see it from a political standpoint. How to look at it from a politician standpoint. And then he gave it to us again over in Isaiah chapter 36 from a prophetic standpoint, how we look at it from a prophet standpoint. But I believe he gave it to us from 2 Chronicles that we can see it from a priestly standpoint or from a heavenly viewpoint. Because so often we look at things from a political viewpoint or we look at things from a religious viewpoint, but we need to see things from God. From God's viewpoint. And I believe that if we look at this thing from God's viewpoint, I think we can see why God records this thing three times. Because just like Hezekiah had to face his enemy, one of the things that a child of God is going to have to learn how to do is face your enemy.
Yes, sir. You're right about it. Preach up. You're right about it.
You're going to have to learn how to face your enemy. Now, what I want to do this morning, I want to look at chapter 32, and I want to outline this chapter first. And then, after we finish outlining the chapter, I want to give you three takeaway points. Three points that you can take away with today. Would that be all right?
Amen.
When we look at this text here, we see, first of all, Hezekiah's test in verses 1 through 8. Now, we have already read that, but notice what it says. I'll just read a couple of verses to just get us going. It says, after these things, the establishment of them, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fortified cities and thought to win them for himself. Notice it says, after these things. Now, you got to, in order to understand this passage, you got to know the thing that he's talking about when he says, after these things. What are some of the things that he was talking about? Well, you can remember we looked at Hezekiah's life on last week over in chapter 29 and how Hezekiah reopened the temple. Remember how the temple was shut down? The doors had been bolted. They had had all kind of idol gods in the temple. And what Hezekiah had to do, he had to get the priests and the Levites to go and clean the temple. And you can recall how it took them 8 days to clean on the inside of the temple. Then it took them 8 days to clean on the outside of the temple.
Yes.
And so that Hezekiah could reopen the temple. And then in chapter number 30, we find how Hezekiah reinstituted the Passover, something that hadn't been done in quite a while. But that was one of the feasts of Almighty God. It was a special time to remember how the children of Israel had came out of Egypt, and the way that they was able to come out of Egypt. God says, what I want you to do, I want you to put some blood over the doorpost, and any house that got blood over the doorpost, I'm going to send my death angel out. And any house that he comes to, and if he see blood over it, he will pass over it. And the reason that he passed over it, because death had already been there, because they had to kill a lamb. And that lamb was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, you didn't get where you are at today in your own strength, in your own power. But the reason that you are where you are is because of the grace of Almighty God. And so God said you need to celebrate the Passover. And so Hezekiah had done that. And then in chapter number 31, Hezekiah saw to it that everybody started paying their tithes. And everybody started paying their offerings. And so now when we come to chapter 32, it says after these things, after they had reopened the temple, after they had reinstituted the Passover, after everybody started worshiping God in the right way, the Bible says, then comes Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Now, when you look at this from an earthly perspective, you would say, wait a minute now. Hezekiah is doing everything right. Why would God reward him by sending this king, King Assyria, to attack him since he's doing everything right? This just don't seem like it's the right thing to do. But keep in mind, we're not looking at this thing from a prophetic perspective. We're not looking at it from a governmental or political perspective. How are we looking at this thing this morning? You got to look at it from a heavenly perspective. And when you look at it from a heavenly perspective, God's ways is not our ways. And his thoughts is not our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the ways of Almighty God.
Amen.
Are y'all with me this morning?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Y'all gonna go with me? I'm gonna have to go by myself this morning. Let me see, can I bring you up to date? Let's just go back and kind of revisit what we did on last week. Remember when Hezekiah became king, the folks weren't doing things right. And when you're not doing things right and you get the wrong answer on Family Feud, what do they say? They weren't doing the right thing. And so as a result, there was some and there was another because they weren't doing things right. But now Hezekiah is doing the right thing. Now when you do the right thing on the show, how do it sound? And so you get an A for doing things right in school. Is that right? And so Hezekiah, he paid his tithes. That was the right thing. Let me hear a ping.
Ping.
All right. Not only did he pay his tithes, he had reinstituted the Passover. That's another.
Ping.
Ping. That's another A. Not only that, they had reopened the temple. That was another A. Come on.
Ping.
Amen. So we got a what? A
ping.
We got a what?
Ping.
Come on.
Ping.
I ain't hearing y'all over here. Come on, somebody. You get a
ding.
You get a what?
Ding.
You get a what?
Ding.
Amen. And so Hezekiah now was doing everything right. But how many of you know now, we got to keep looking at this thing from a heavenly perspective. See, in an earthly perspective, when you done made all A's for the semester, you get an exemption, don't you? From the final exam. So you don't have to take the final test. But how many of you know God don't think like man? You may get an exemption for man when you're making A's, but not so with Almighty God.
All right.
But then why then do God give you a test even though you make A's on everything? I mean, you're paying tithes, that's an A. You're going to church like you're supposed to go, that's an A. You're worshiping God and you're walking in the righteous way, that's an A. But God still bring a test in your life. Look, yes, like sir. That don't make
right,
sense,
right,
dude.
Right.
Why do God give you a test when you're doing everything right? I think John 15 can kind of give us an answer here. Hold your spot right there and turn with me over to John 15. Is anybody interested in why you get a test even when you are faithful?
Amen.
Have anybody ever got a test when you being faithful?
Yes.
Let me show you why you get a test even when you're doing everything right. Look here at what it says here in John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Just two verses. Look at what it says. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears, here it is, not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit.
Right.
The one that's got some fruit, that's the one that's producing, he purges it. Why? Why? That it may bring forth. Come out, somebody. More. God said, I want a little bit more. See, God knows a lot of times when we are doing everything like we supposed to do. We are going to church like we supposed to go to church. We are reading our Bible like we supposed to read our Bible. We are working in one of the auxiliaries in the church. God knows that when we start feeling like we are doing everything like we supposed to do, we can easily put in our mind that I done enough now. Yeah, I'm going to let somebody else sing. I'm going to let somebody else pray. I'm going to let somebody else teach the class. I done enough now. I can go ahead and sit down. So God knows that while you're on your way to your seat to sit down, God said, I got to send a text.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're right about it.
God don't want you to sit down and start being satisfied as if you done arrived. Because, see, you think you done gave enough, but God said, no, I want a little bit more out of you. God says, I want some more praises out of you. God says, I want some more finances out of you. You think you done gave enough. You ain't gave all that you can give yet. You ain't sung like you can really sing yet. You ain't prayed like you can pray yet. God says, I want some more prayers out of you. God says, I want a little bit more. And the way he brings a little bit more is by bringing a trial in your life. Because God says, I want a little bit more.
All right.
Now, isn't that practical?
Yeah.
I say, isn't that practical?
Yeah.
You know, if somebody cooks some good dinner, if the dinner is really good, let's just say fried chicken. If the fried chicken is really good, you can't stop just with one piece. If the fried chicken is really good, you want some
more.
You want some more fried chicken. If it's a nice German chocolate cake and that cake tastes good, if it's really good, you don't stop with just one piece, do you? Because you want some
more.
You want some more. If it's a sweet potato pie, a nice slice of that sweet potato, you just can't stop with one little slice of sweet potato pie. You want some
more.
So when God see you producing, and God says, I don't want you to stop right there. God says, I want a little bit
more.
He wants some more.
Amen.
That's your life. And that's what he done with Hezekiah. So he sent this test because he wanted some more out of his life. Now turn on back over here to 2 Chronicles, our text. Because we move from the test, Hezekiah's test, to Hezekiah's enemy. Look at the enemy. Here, let's skip down here to verse number 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Look what the enemy is talking smack. He says, after this did Sennacherib king of Assyria send his servants to Jerusalem. But he himself laid siege against Lachish and all his power with him unto Hezekiah king of Judah and unto all of Judah who was at Jerusalem, saying, thus said Sennacherib king of Assyria, on what do you trust that ye abide in the siege of Jerusalem? Now notice, this guy, this enemy is a pretty big enemy. How do I know he's a big enemy? He sending his servants to do his battle for him. This man, this king's Sennacherib, he was one of the greatest kings in Hezekiah's day. And this guy, he was so great, he could fight battles over here, fight battles over there, fight battles over there. He had his army just about all over the empire. This was a big enemy. I want you to see that. Then I want you to see how bad this enemy is. This enemy was so bad, he came in Hezekiah's backyard and started talking smack. Look, right there at the text, right in the Bible. He said, does not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourself to die by famine and by thirst, saying the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hands of the king of Syria? Has not the same Hezekiah taken away the high places and the altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one God and burn incense upon it? Now he's talking smack as if he know God. He's talking about Hezekiah. God really is mad at Hezekiah for tearing down his altars. But Hezekiah didn't tear down God's altar. He was tearing down them idols.
All right.
Altars. He was tearing down these false God's altar. But notice how this guy's talking. He's talking like he know God. Listen, let me ask you a question. Do it bother you sometimes when folks start talking about how God is? The reason you're going through what you're going through is because of God. God is putting this on you. They act like they know God. And they just be just as wrong as two left shoes. But see, if you don't know they wrong, they can intimidate you. And notice this guy, he started boasting. He said, know ye not that I and my fathers have done unto the people of the other land, were the gods of the nation of those land in any way able to deliver their land out of mine hand? Who was there among the gods of those nations that my father utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of my hand? That your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand. He's bragging about their track record. They say every time we went out to battle, we have never lost the battle. No gods, no nation has ever been able to stop us. Go check the history records and look at the books. You'll see that no nation, no God can stop us. And what makes you think your nation and God can stop us? Man, he's boasting, ain't he? In other words, this enemy is big and he's bad and he's boasting. Man, I mean, look, he goes on further in verse number 17.
If you would like a copy of the message that you've just heard in its entirety, call the church office now at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or write to Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, 75062. You're also invited to worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.